Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Hey, we're back. I'm Colin Stewart. I'm your co-host. I'm joined today by my co-host, Aaron Ross, best-selling author and father of 11, going on 400, I think. And then today, and today we've got David Mordzinski. I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Cool. You, now you're an account-based marketing coach and newly real estate mogul. So congrats on that.
Thank you very much.
Today we're not talking real estate. We're going to talk about, I mean, you showed me a method for personalizing emails really quickly based on somebody's LinkedIn. What really struck me was the efficiency and the repeatability of your process. I've seen SDRs after SDRs after SDRs get stuck spending 30, 40 minutes on one single LinkedIn profile. So I'm really excited for you to share, you know, what you've been doing or and how you do
email.
It so quickly.
Yep. Yep.
Cool. So David, you want to like give me just a quick sort of background on how did you develop this process? Where did this come from?
Great question. So I came from a world where it was basically like a shark tank, right? It was pick up the phone, 80 calls a day, 80 emails a day. It was a volume game. I come to a B2B marketing company where we practice account-based marketing, where it's not about quantity, it's about quality. So I really struggled in the beginning of, I had this methodology of, oh man, I had a good day if I sent out 50, 60 emails. What I've later learned is that's not a good day. Doing a lot of work doesn't necessarily mean it's going to turn into anything, right? So basically I said, you know what? I'm going to take a step back with my approach and I'm going to really care about the people that I'm working or sending emails to. Started personalizing these emails. Did not work at first, but kept trying, listened to feedback, developed the system. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Cool. And so I know there's a ton of people, myself included, sitting here going, well, why should I personalize, right? Like what's in it for me? There's going to be a ton of extra effort, extra work. Talk to me about like the difference between just that sort of blanket mass template approach versus what you're doing.
Well, I would disagree if people say it's more work to personalize an email. Would you rather send out 100 generic emails or 10 personalized ones? What's more work?
Oh, you just queue them up into a big system and it's off. It's brainless.
Right. But at the end of the day, reply rates matter, right?
Totally.
You send out 100 emails and nothing comes out of it. You ask the question, what's in it for me? Well, if you do that, you don't get anything, right? Mm-hmm. If you end up personalizing 10 emails and you get 3 responses back, that's what's in it for you.
Cool. Is that generally the sort of response rates you're expecting with these emails?
He's like, let's get to the funnel metric.
Well, that's a great
how
question.
Yeah, what'd you get?
It really always depends. And I think there's 2 common factors. It's really A, the title / responsibility that your prospect has, and then B, an action that they took, right? If you can see that a prospect's been on your site, chances the reply rate's up to 50%. If it's a completely cold email, it might be closer to 25%.
Cool. Awesome. All right. So let's dive in. I think you, last time we chatted, you actually had some templates. We walked through your system. I think you said this time, just to make it quicker, you've got a little slideshow or a presentation in front of us.
Let me share my screen.
Yep. Yeah. Fire up the projector. We'll get the glossy slides over happening. For those of you that are listening on the podcast, you can go to predictablerevenue.com/podcast. This is episode number, actually, I don't know the episode number. We'll edit that in later, but just look for David Mordzinski.
Middle single digits.
Search
for David Mordzinski, but that's a challenge. You got to spell Mordzinski. It's like a hidden treasure. Yeah. Okay. We got it running up here. Let's see what we got.
Awesome. So, and by the way, Colin, thank both of you. Thanks for having me. And really what we're going to go over today is how to get more meetings by personalizing your outreach, whether that's emails, calls, in-mails from a LinkedIn profile. Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
Sorry again.
For, the, For those of you that are taking notes, don't stress too much. We're going to drop a link to this presentation in the show notes. So just put the pens down, relax, and sit back while David teaches us how he does. Gets one in four to give him an email back.
So like I said before, we're going to talk about how we're going to get more replies by personalizing your outreach from a LinkedIn profile.
In a quick and repeatable way.
Exactly.
That's the key, yep.
Just like predictable revenue. So I like to consider, when I think of sending an email to a prospect, I like to think about going fishing, where your subject line is your bait, and you're throwing that bait into a crowded inbox. And really, your prospect's inundated with emails all day. Why is your bait, your subject line, better than the rest? How are you going to cut through the clutter? So the point is, you want your prospect to nibble on your bait and open up your email. And then next is, you want to hook them and reel them in for a meeting. And the way you do that is to write a short, concise body email that speaks to the needs of the prospect that you're reaching out to. So these are the 9 different ways that I personalize my outreach from a LinkedIn profile. There's other different ways, such as patents, publications that prospects have, but these are the 9 I'm going to go over today.
Are these in any particular order or just a list?
It's in this order, yes. And it's no particular order in terms of effectiveness, but the recommendations is bar none the most effective way to get a response.
Okay, so if you're listening, he's got 9 points he's going to go through.
Yes. So I'll read them off. It's going to be a headline, the education of the prospect, articles the prospect has written, mutual connections of the prospect that you know, the summary or blurb of the prospect on their LinkedIn profile, tenure at their current company, the current responsibilities they currently have at their role, prior companies that they've worked at that we are currently working with, and their recommendations. So the first part of the LinkedIn profile that I like to utilize is a headline. A headline is the phrase below your prospect's name. I like to put the headline as a subject line in an email. And to me, there's 2 types of headlines. There are common, generic headlines, and there are unique headlines. And I'll show you an example. If you take a look at Lisa, and she's the vice president of demand gen, I can't even imagine how many emails that woman gets a day. So if you write her an email and you title the subject line, Vice President Demand Gen, that doesn't really resonate because so many people have that headline. What you really want to do is cut through that clutter and that crowded inbox and basically have that prospect think, that's me, that's my personal brand. Somebody took that directly from my LinkedIn profile. And this is a perfect example. If you take a look at Matt, and I know both of you had him on your podcast, I think a couple weeks back, his headline is, we'll take meetings for cupcakes. If you send Matt an email with the subject line, we'll take meetings for cupcakes, and you basically go through your pitch and end the email saying, would you be interested in learning more? I'll provide the cupcakes. Not only is that going to resonate with Matt, but it shows that you personalized your email. You did your research, and you'll get a response from that. Next is the summary section on LinkedIn. This is similar to the headline, where you're trying to find a unique phrase in the summary section to use in your outreach, specifically in a subject line. What you can also do here is try and find out a little bit about the person and what they do so you know what you can help them with and what you should speak about in your email, phone call, etc. So if you take a look at the first one, well-rounded, brand-conscious professional. If you take that and put that in a subject line, not really going to resonate in a crowded inbox. But if you take a look at this one and it reads, every brand has a story to tell, and you put that in a subject line, that will get an open. And you can basically write an email saying how you can help their brand tell their story. and basically position it on how your product is unique and can do it better than anybody else. The next part of a LinkedIn profile I like to use is the education piece, specifically if I went to the same school as that prospect. So let's take a look at Stacy. Stacy's a marketing director in New York, prime prospect for me. So she went to Rutgers, as did I. So now what I'm going to do is two things. First, I'm going to use the education in the subject line. What I'm also going to do is use it in the body. Now, best practices are really, you want to try and connect the subject line with the body paragraph. This is not really the case. So you'll see the email that I wrote for Stacy is, "Hey, Stacy, I saw your experience. Think we can help you with X." And you can see just on the bottom, "P.S. I saw you were a fellow Rutgers alumni." It's a great way to build rapport. I didn't connect anything from what I was speaking about in the email to Rutgers. But I think in this case, it's really going to show the prospect that you personalized your email and took the time to look at their profile on LinkedIn and speak to their needs. And you can see here in her subject, in the subject line, I wrote Rutgers to marketing director. That is Stacy's brand. That is her to a T. If you see that subject line in your email inbox, you bet she's going to open it. So the next part of the LinkedIn profile I like to use is articles published from that prospect. Two best practices here. First, you want to use the title of the article written by the prospect as the subject line. And then two, you really want to connect what the article was about to what you can help that prospect with. If you cannot find a article and connect it to you product to your product, you just have to be really genuine and tell that prospect how much you like their article. And I think people are pretty intelligent, and they can really read between the lines between you being genuine and you being fake. So you can see here with the subject line, becoming a great professional, took it directly from the article and got the response. And that's a CEO and founder of a Fortune 500 company. So the next,
a nice win.
Yeah, it really was. So the next part of the LinkedIn profile that I like to utilize, and it's pretty effective specifically when you get to utilize your executives. My company, Demand Base, the executives are super open and basically have an open door with me asking them if they could bridge a connection with a prospect we're trying to get a meeting with. But to get back to this, if you're trying to get a meeting with somebody and you see that you're connected with somebody on LinkedIn, whether it's a close friend or a colleague, it's going to be way easier for that person to get that meeting for you rather than you going in cold. So what I like to do is two things. One, I want to make it as easy as possible for that person who's bridging a connection, because I would like to ask them again if it ever comes up. So two things I'm going to do here. First, I'm going to include all the information about the prospect, who they are, what they do, their contact information, primarily an email address, and I'll also write a snippet about what I wanted to speak about with the prospect. What I'll also do is I'll leave a little section for the person who's bridging that introduction to personalize their email. So it's like, "Hi, Colin. Man, it's been such a long time. Just moved back to Vancouver. Let's catch up." And then go, and then he'll take the snippet that I used and put it in that email. Now, the next part I like to utilize on a LinkedIn profile is tenure at a company and really celebrating an anniversary. So let's just say, Aaron, I find your profile and I see that you were at Demand Base for a year. I'm going to put the subject line, 1 year with Demand Base. And just little snippet here, shorter the subject line, the better. More opens with the less, with fewer words. And what I'm going to do is basically intro the email. "Hey, Aaron, congrats on your 1 year work anniversary with Demand Base. Crazy how fast time flies. In your tenure with Demand Base, I'm sure you've seen X problem and Y problem. That's what we can help you with." So do you see how I can connect it, the tenure of the company, to their experience with the problems, then how we can help them? It's basically a nice little story, and it starts out all about the prospect. Next is the current responsibilities section on LinkedIn. Basically, you want to try and figure out what your prospect's role is and their initiatives are at the company they're currently working with. I think this goes without saying. If you send a prospect an email and it speaks nothing to their needs, I think you're insulting their intelligence. And it really puts a bad taste in their mouth with the company that you're working for. So save your time, save their time. Don't send anything that's not going to speak to their needs. Next is I like to figure out all the companies that the prospect has worked for and basically go back and figure out, hey, are we working with any of their former companies? Because 9 times out of 10, the prospect just got a new role. They've been there for 3 months. And a lot of the times they're tasked with a new initiative at that company. And they might have had experience with demand base at their prior company. So what I'm going to do is say something along like this. Hi, David. Congrats on your new role with predictable revenue. Hope your transition's been smooth. We help your former company demand base accelerate growth, and I'm confident we can do the same for you at your new role. That's going to, A, show that you did your homework, and B, it's like, wow, this kid is really speaking to my needs. Does that all make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
you mentioned, typically, how do you engage, you put up a LinkedIn profile, are you spending 5 minutes, you think, or, if you just have, and of course, there's going to be some exceptions, but in general, how long do you think you're looking at the profile, picking something out, and then drafting?
Looking at the profile, you can find things probably under 2 minutes. Writing the email, because I have all of my templates that are all around these ways to personalize a profile, I can probably write an email within 2 minutes. So basically what it looks like is found this particular way I can personalize up to this prospect on LinkedIn, pull up the template that has to do with that, plug and play the specific keywords that I need to put into that email, send. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
And obviously, you get better over time. I've been doing this for about 2 years now. So it was not easy at first.
How long did it take you at first?
Sandy.
I mean, I remember one of the first times I tried to personalize an email, I saw somebody worked at BlackBerry and I told them how I loved playing Brick Breaker. Like that has nothing to do with the product I'm trying to sell. And that email probably took me 20 minutes to write. So
I remember Brick Breaker.
Yeah.
So I
Salesforce.
And actually Salesforce just put up their name on the MetLife building here. So, but I probably started getting a hang of this, probably 2 months doing it. And now it's like a machine. It's basically like, I like to call it plug and play. Find the template that you can utilize and plug in the personalized keywords. And the next and last way I like to personalize outreach via LinkedIn is utilizing the prospect's recommendations. Two things I'm going to do. First, I'm either going to utilize the person's name who left the recommendation in the subject line. So it'll go something like this. Colin Stewart recommends David. So it'll look, or you can take a specific snippet of the recommendation that's going to really resonate with that individual. Basically, it goes back to the headline and summary section. Is it a unique snippet? So you could see here, I emailed Dan. I made the subject line a very unique snippet that would speak to that individual's brand. And I basically wrote an email saying, hey, Dan, your recommendations on LinkedIn are incredible. That type of sales and marketing alignment is a key pillar in what I'm trying to talk to you about. And ended up getting that meeting.
So for those that can't see, what's the subject line here? And pull up, what was the recommendation?
So the recommendation was Dan, meticulous, astute, perspicacious. And I took those three words, meticulous, astute, perpetuous, and put it in their LinkedIn profile.
You're not going to see those very often in an email.
I don't even know what perspicuous means.
I'm impressed you can pronounce it.
I don't remember what it is either.
But think about it, right? Go back to the fishing metaphor. Dan has a crowded inbox. He's a director of marketing at a Fortune 50 company. I can't even tell you how many emails this person gets. But he knows that the snippet that I put in the subject line was a direct quote from the LinkedIn recommendation that somebody wrote him. And that's why it got opened. And that's it. Any questions?
If you had to sort of summarize, all right, you know, maybe it's a week, like you send X number of these emails and you get sort of a Y response rate and lead to how many appointments, like a snapshot of your funnel that way, at least for the cold outbound ones or the coldest side.
Great question. So it's funny, when I started doing this job, I did a whole ton of research on when's the best time to write an email. I personally like writing emails Wednesday, Thursday, specifically 7 to 9, 4 to 6. I think the primary time is Thursday from 4 to 6, because Monday, Tuesday, prospects going in, they have their own agenda. Wednesday, Thursday, hopefully they got their stuff done. They're thinking about next week. And if you send it early in the morning before they've gotten to their day, or you send it when they're tired and they're done with what they're trying to do and they're going through their email, that's when you want to get them. And what I like to do is I come in super early in the morning before my prospects come into the office. I will call them. 9 times out of 10, they don't answer. But I'll also send them an email right after I call them. I'll make the subject line voicemail, send them an email, and what the prospect's going to do is they're going to go to their desk with their cup of coffee, they're going to look at their phone and see that there's the red light on, that they got a voicemail, power on their email, and they're going to see a subject line voicemail.
Cool. So do you start voicemail first touch every time?
Yes.
So what does that look like, Sue?
That's a 48% open rate.
Right on. So walk me through the rest of your sequence. So voicemail, then the voicemail email.
That's a great question. So
can you share? Top secret?
Of course. So basically, the first email, I want it to be how I can help that individual, right? So I'm going to leave the subject line voicemail, and I'm going to speak about, hey, Colin, I noticed that you're doing X. We can help you with Y. Would you be open to learning more? 3 days go by, I don't get a response. I'm going to go to their LinkedIn recommendations, because that gets, I don't know the number, I want to say it's a 57% open rate, but what I'll do is I'll use the same thread with my first email, and the second email will read, Ross recommends Colin Stewart, right? Colin, your recommendations on LinkedIn are incredible. Somebody with your expertise definitely knows the value of X. That's what I'd love to speak to you with. It's a super short, concise email. And when that prospect scrolls down, it's like, huh, this person sent me an email 3 days ago. What did they want to talk about? So the email that they got 3 days later is all about them and the recommendation and how good they are. And then a little bit beneath is the email I sent 3 days before on how we can actually help them grow their business and increase revenue. And then basically what I like to do, I call it the Mike Tyson approach. I want to get in, get out fast. I don't believe in working a prospect 4 months long, right? So I'm going to hit them about 6 to 7 different times via email, LinkedIn, calling them in a span of 2 to 3 weeks. My theory is that person will A, know I'm trying to get in contact with them, and B, they either want to talk to me or not. So the best second answer, in my opinion, is a no. So the sooner I can move on, the better. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Just trying to do the math here in my head. And it's obviously slow because I'm left-handed. But the abacus, just it moves really slowly from this side. Just on average here, so we start with a voicemail, then you do the recommendation email. You sort of you're touching them sort of six to seven times total over a period of 3 weeks. So how many companies or accounts and contacts are you working at any given point in time?
So our company practices account-based marketing, where it's not really how many companies you can work. It's working the companies that want to buy your solutions right now. So I only work 100 companies. That's it, right? And at a given time, I only maybe work six. That being said, I'm working different business units within that company. So right now, I'm probably working 70 people. So I try and get out anywhere from, I like to get 40 emails out Wednesday, Thursday, super personalized and everything. And I do my research Monday, Tuesday. So basically what it's going to look like, I'll get in on Monday. And what's going to end up happening is like I use tools like Spiderbook. It's an artificial intelligence tool. And what it's going to do is basically go out into the business internet and find the companies and prospects for me to reach out to. It's basically doing my job for me. And that's one thing I can do. So I'll gather that intelligence. My sales rep will tell me, hey, I really want to get into this company. So Tuesday, I'll do my own prospecting on LinkedIn. Wednesday, Thursday, it's hitting the ground running. Monday, Tuesday is the preparation for Wednesday, Thursday.
Cool. And so Wednesday, Thursday, you're doing, this is all of your calls and email touches?
Yes.
And then Friday, take off, sit in a hammock somewhere?
Work from home.
Do you have is it more like daily, weekly, monthly goals? How would you again summarize like your funnel? You're getting like about 40 emails a week and so on. Do you have a certain number of meetings or, and those lead to like, what are the important metrics that you're looking at or you're working towards?
That is a very good question.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I can very highly recommend it on LinkedIn.
So really it's a little bit different, right? When it on the specific time in the year, right? So right now I'm actually working overtime because there's so many marketing events going on. I'm probably working 100 people as opposed to 70. What I like to do is 10 in, 10 out every 2 days. So basically at any given point in time, I'll be working 70 people and I'll actually track 10 people I kick out and 10 new people I bring in to keep that pipeline fresh. And so it'll go something like this. I have two sales reps I work for. Both will give me the companies they want to go after. I'm going to pick one from each, pick 5 to 6 people from each company, do my research Monday, Tuesday, as opposed to all the other leads coming in from the marketing campaigns, and basically figure out, okay, Wednesday, Thursday, I have 80 to 100 people to hit, green light, go. But
gotcha.
But to answer your question, it's I want to try and at least bring in 10 new people a week. And that might not sound like a lot, but again, we're practicing account-based marketing. And I think that was one of the biggest mistakes I made. It's quality over quantity.
Now, when you say bring in 10 new people, is that responding? Is that booking a meeting with you, booking a meeting with one of your AEs?
Meaning me just trying to get a meeting with them.
Okay.
Yeah. And my goal is, and my personal goal is one meeting a day.
One meeting a day.
Yeah. You failed if you didn't get a meeting.
Gotcha. Okay. So sort of on target of like the 20, 21 meetings a month average.
Exactly. And just like a rule.
You know, how many of those end up getting accepted is, you know, how do you measure those? So you get a meeting, then the meeting happens or doesn't at that point. And then what?
I would say at least 60 to 70% convert to pipe. And it goes back to, I only bring 10 people in. If I bring 10 people in, I'm working them and I'm going to give them the personalized outreach they deserve. So that's why, and it goes back to, instead of just trying to get a meeting with anybody, you want to get a meeting with the right people. The reason why there's such a high conversion rate from that initial meeting to the second and third is I'm not wasting my time getting those easy meetings. I'm going after the prospects that we should be talking to, speaking with in the first place.
Great. And you've got all that mapped out ahead of time. This is the account map. These are the individuals that we want to.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, but I forgot to ask, what's like a typical deal, your average order sizes or customer values? Sometimes so, people are like small versus medium, large, and
yeah, want to so know. Basically, what I can say, just because we're not public, is we basically can sell anywhere from the low 10,000s, 20,000s to sky's the limit, multiple million.
Cool. So an average deal end going into the pipe, we're probably like, if you're excited about it, we're probably talking close to six figures, if not more.
That, so like, I don't want to, that I'm not allowed.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We can just guess based on what your pricing page looks like. That's the, like, is the price there? No. Okay. We're probably talking six figures. But the official response is no comment. So
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Go.
No, go ahead, man.
No, I made sure I had to figure out what I could and could not say.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Just make sure the episode doesn't self-distract after we finish recording.
David, how was your podcast? Mom, it was great. 2 days later. Hey, yeah.
My podcast.
They don't want me back anymore.
Yeah. Perfect. Those were the questions, the boxes I was trying to tick. Aaron, what have we missed here?
I think... okay, well, last quick one, because I think we're in time, which is, you know, so you use Salesforce, you use Spiderbook, obviously, your own. Like, what are your key apps?
Love it. Great.
That you're using, you know.
Got it. So I use, just to summarize, Spiderbook, which basically can help me identify the companies and prospects to go after using artificial intelligence. I'll use RainKing and DiscoverOrg for contact data. I prefer DiscoverOrg. I use mailtester.com to see if an email is valid. I'll use owler.com to find the competitors of the company I'm targeting and basically figure out the companies that we're working with to basically align any of the competitors that company has that we're currently working with. And that's basically it.
Cool.
Great.
All right. Well, yeah, great. Thanks very much. That was fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, David. Really appreciate you coming on the show today. It's all super right. helpful, man.
It was honestly, pleasure's mine. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
All right.
And we'll put a link to your LinkedIn into the show notes in case anyone wants to personalize an email to you.
Saw you on this podcast and
I'll send you exactly so cool. Pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
See you next time, everybody.